Right now, though, we go to the Middle East. As promised, we're going to be talking with David Dolan. From his vantage point in Jerusalem for over 25 years, he has been able to stay on top of the stories, and because of that, we'd love to have opportunity to talk with him. His vast experience helps us to understand what's going on. David, I've got to start with this. I had some other items I wanted to talk about, but the headline indicates that Prime Minister Netanyahu is accusing Iran of accelerating its work on a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. The United Nations Agency, the watchdog in the atomic energy sources there, are much concerned about what's happening there. The Prime Minister says all of these sanctions are not working. We're going to have to do something different. This sounds like he's ratcheting up everything, getting ready to do that preemptive strike.
Well, again, Jimmy, they've been the Iranians have been working feverishly to move this uranium enrichment centrifuge program to these underground facilities right outside of the holy city of Qom. That's not so far from the capital, Tehran, and deep inside of a mountain is this bunker that the Iranians have constructed, that they're moving these centrifuges into, and it will be impossible for Israel to strike at them, to attack them once they're all, as it were, sealed deep underground. The U.S. has a better chance of doing it. You and I have talked about this with our bunker buster bombs being larger and stronger and that sort of thing. But even then, it would be difficult. If there's going to be military action that's effective at all, it's got to be soon. And that's been clear to analysts watching the situation. Netanyahu has warned of that himself several times, and Ehud Barak, his defense minister, and other Israeli leaders. But again, for the Israelis, this is an issue of existence. This is an existential dilemma they're facing, with Iran saying, and Khamenei said it last week again, the Zionist state will soon disappear. It's going to be destroyed. So with these sorts of statements coming out and them produce and them continuing to enrich uranium, yes, it's pretty evident the sanctions aren't making any effect, and that that they're bound and determined to produce nuclear weapons and try to destroy Israel. So, you know, do you just sit there and wait then? Or if you're prime minister and you're the head of a Jewish state, to the people that went through the Holocaust, et cetera, do you just sit there and wait, or do you take action? Well, he's warning quite clearly, we're preparing to take action.
Yeah, and meanwhile, in Egypt, the Egyptian tanks and troops of the military there have moved into the Sinai, supposedly for the purpose of fighting terrorism, but they've also moved right up to the northern border there in Egypt with the southern border of Israel. And this is a bit concerning in the region, is it not?
Oh, definitely it is. And, you know, there is a real problem in Sinai. There's no question that that not only Palestinian terrorism, but international terrorism has been going on there. Iran sponsoring some of that, Al-Qaeda, a Sunni Muslim group sponsoring some of it, but it's become a very lawless region, and of course we've had the kidnapping of a number of foreign tourists that were there on holiday on the Red Sea coast of the Sinai Peninsula, a very popular tourist destination, especially with Europeans, but many Israelis were going there as well, and so real lawlessness, and so the government agreed to Egypt beefing up its security forces there. The government of Israel agreed to that, but it's very, very worrisome under Mohamed Morsi now, and the Muslim Brotherhood running Egypt, clearly with an anti-Israel attitude and position, no question about that, even if he hasn't yet taken any action to abrogate the peace treaty. It is very worrisome, and, you know, the Israelis are looking at a potential war that involves pretty much all their neighbors, apart from maybe Jordan. And this is a potential war. It's not necessarily going to happen, but it's certainly a worrisome development, and they're keeping their eye real closely on it.
Yes, and even the prime minister, almost to the extent of saying, Egypt, get your tanks out of the Sinai. I mean, Israelis have to be much concerned about this. There has not been any such thing like this in, what, some 30 years since they signed the Camp David Accords.
No, and Jimmy, I don't want to refocus this, but a lot of people over there are saying that it's to do with the United States, that the United States is not taking a strong enough stand with Egypt, or, you know, and some of these other issues, that the president is more rhetoric and they don't fear any sort of action. Of course, the action's ongoing in Afghanistan and that, but, I mean, I'm talking about in Israel and its immediate neighbors. And so they feel like the Egyptians feel emboldened, and that they can get away with pressing this and pushing the envelope as far as they can. And it's distressing to the Israelis for sure.
What about the Hamas making plans to declare a state in the Gaza Strip? Now, Hamas basically controls that part of the state of Israel, and it's a pretty good-sized piece of real estate there in the southwestern corner of all of the state of Israel. While you have Mahmoud Abbas, who's the president of the Palestinian Authority, controlling the Fatah faction of the Palestinian people. But Hamas saying because of the fact that the two different factions of the Palestinian people cannot come together, they're going to declare their own state there in the Gaza. Is that reality or is it just rhetoric?
Well, Jimmy, the reality on the ground has substantially changed, and it's because of just what we were talking about with the Muslim Brotherhood controlling Egypt, and with Egypt having a southern, the southern Gaza Strip border is with Egypt. Therefore, this becomes a viable proposition for Hamas to have a state there. If the borders can be open with Egypt, if people can travel, if they can get commerce in there and supplies in there, et cetera, they can probably put together a pretty viable state that is not dependent on either Israel, as it pretty much is now. Most of the electricity for the Gaza Strip comes from Israel. Most of the food supplies come in across the border with Israel, medical supplies, et cetera. So they can cut all that off and ignore Fatah and ignore Mahmoud Abbas, you know, who is headquartered about 40 miles away up in Ramallah, 40 miles from Gaza City, so it's not a long ways away, but they can set up a viable state. And, of course, the Israelis are opposed to that because, well, Hamas, again, like Iran, vows that Israel will be destroyed, no peace with it. We're going to carry on our holy war, jihad, until the end. So it's hardly an appealing thing for Israel, but something that maybe now with the Muslim Brothers there in Cairo, maybe something Israel cannot prevent.
Was that mean the death knell to the reforming of the Palestinian peoples under one umbrella, just having the two different elements there?
It's looked to me for some time like that wasn't ever going to happen anyway, because Hamas is a powerful movement. They've proved to be an electoral force. They won the parliamentary elections, as you'll recall, in February 2006. And, you know, then they were tossed out of the government after they violently took control of the Gaza Strip 1 year later, throwing out Abbas's people and security forces. So, you know, there's been not just a rivalry, there's been a bitter struggle between these two factions of the Palestinian people right really since then, since they took over in Gaza. And no sign that it's going to heal. And so if I were a Hamas leader and I suddenly had, you know, an ally in power right next to me, one of my neighbors, I would probably take the same action they're taking. But it probably spells the end of the peace process. The Western U.S.-led attempts to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict by a peace treaty is probably dead at this point because, you know, with part of the Palestinian people then openly saying, we'll never negotiate peace, this is over, it's finished, and controlling some of the land, that really makes it extremely unlikely that any Israeli government would ever cede anything further at this point.
David Dolan, he's the man who gives us each week a Middle East news update. Thinking with David Dolan about the activities unfolding in that part of the world helps us to better understand an end-time scenario. And that's the reason that we bring this gentleman great knowledge, great experience, to these microphones to help us do exactly that. David, thank you so much, my good friend, and we'll talk again down the line.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.